Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. Again, this is Lauren, your host, and you are listening to episode 109 with Monica Metz, part-time vegan. And before we jump into today's amazing and juicy, if you will, show with Monica, I wanted to remind you guys that Witchy Wellness Radio is sponsored by Living the Good Life Naturally Magnesium. This is my go-to magnesium brand. I no longer take magnesium internally. I only use it transdermally, which means on my skin, whether it's a lotion, a foot soak, or my all-time favorite, a beautiful bath. Head over to the show notes and make sure to use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your purchase. And I am doing a new free masterclass, Flowing from Fear to Freedom. This will be August 19th at 7 p.m. EST. If you guys are struggling with your anxiety and feel like it's keeping you from living your dreams and really being yourself, make sure to sign up for this masterclass where you will learn 3 ways to focus your anxiety for good, flow through your fear with ease, and finally be able to live that dream life. Head over to the show notes or go to anxioustoaligned.com/masterclass. And without further ado, please enjoy episode 109, Part-Time Vegan with Monica Metz. Hey, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio. And again, I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani. And this is a show you get to learn how your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And our beautiful guest today, Monica Metz, is here to talk to us about moving towards a more plant-based diet without beating ourselves up about doing it 100% of the time or doing it perfectly. I think that can be said about a lot of things in life. I am so excited to talk to Monica today. She's also a certified health coach, helping people who want to transition into a more plant-based diet without having to go all in. She was a former or is a former marketing executive. Monica understands the challenges of trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle amid the overcommitted, overcaffeinated, and sleep-deprived world in which we all live. Before pursuing a career in nutrition, Monica worked for several professional sports organizations, including the Portland Trailblazers, Anaheim Ducks, and the PGA of America. She's passionate about supporting her clients with nutrition guidance, meal planning, real food recipes, and powerful strategies for incorporating healthier habits into our everyday lives. Welcome to the show, Monica. I'm so excited to talk all things mostly plant-based.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, of course, of course. I know I was telling her off air that I don't think I've had anybody who's been like just talking about plant-based benefits on the show yet. And we've been on air for 3.5 years. I'm so excited to talk about this, especially your approach, which is my approach too. And sometimes I hesitate telling people that I'm plant-based because of the stigma or the fact that sometimes I will eat a piece of cheese every once in a while, or I will have sushi every once in a while. And sometimes people get a little judgy, but it works for me. And I would love to start off hearing how you went from this very, I'm sure, high-paced position and career and lifestyle to now learning how to balance, you know, healthy living and not be overly perfectionistic about it. Because I am that way about a lot of things sometimes.
As we all are, yes. Well, actually, before I get into kind of how I got into this, I think what you brought up is so important because there are so many people who are trying to eat more plant-based. So let's say you tell your friends like, yes, I'm plant-based. And then you do feel like you know, your intuition is telling you like, hey, maybe I should have a little bit of fish or something like that. And I find that's what's really interesting is maybe you're not even with your plant-based friends, you're with omnivore people and they know that about you. And then all of a sudden they're kind of judging and like, hey, wait a minute, I thought you said you were plant-based. Like, well, what, like, what's your stake in this? I mean, it's just so funny to me how people have all sorts of opinions about it when really I think it's a private matter. You know, I think whatever feels good in our bodies and what feels good in that moment for our lifestyles, as long as we're taking care of ourselves as best we can, then, you know, I think that's all good. But so how I got into all this, yes. So I did work for numerous sports teams in my 20s and 30s. It was very exciting. I was on television. I was, you know, working in this really high profile job. But a lot of times, you know, I'd be working, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And so working these really long hours, staying at events all night, you know, and then getting up in the morning and going right back to work so we could do, you know, be in the office all day. And it was really fun. It was really exciting. I was running on adrenaline and caffeine. However, I just was not taking care of myself at all. And, you know, I just wasn't that making that connection. I say that now. I think on some level, I understood what I was doing was not good. But I think all of us can get in that position where we think, well, I'm just going to do this for a while, you know, to get through this deadline, to get through this season, to get through this, the playoffs, you know, whatever it was for me, I was ignoring kind of that inner voice that was saying, hey, maybe you should get some more sleep, or, you know, maybe you should cook at home. I mean, I never cooked at home because I was just never there. And I was living on arena food, hot dogs, pizza, you know, whatever I could grab. But at the same time, I was developing these health issues, which were completely mysterious to me. So things that were annoying, like acne and migraine headaches to IBS symptoms, and eventually, you know, gallbladder pain. Then in my 30s, I started having multiple miscarriages. We were trying to start our family, had infertility. It took us a really long time to have our son. But the good news is when I turned 40, just a few days later, we had our son. And I think that was that life-changing event that I needed to recognize, like, hey, what I have been doing so far has not been working. You know, that period where I was having those miscarriages and infertility was really devastating to me. And when he was born, I just thought, okay, like, here's this person, this little person, I want to be around as long as possible for him. I recognize I'm an older mommy. You know, that's pretty clear to you when you have a baby at 40, the way that they give care for you and are talking to you in the healthcare system. I mean, not that it's not true. I mean, I was advanced maternal age, but that's what I needed to really light the fire. And just from then on, I just really followed my own curiosity and intuition about healthy food. For whatever reason, I was attracted to juicing and smoothies and raw vegan food. Not that I ever became a raw vegan, but I was just fascinated by it. And then I just kept following those blogs. And eventually I figured out, hey, a lot of these people I follow have become certified holistic health coaches like you and I. And then I thought, oh, I could learn more about this. And maybe I could take what I've learned to help me resolve these health issues, like prediabetes, high cholesterol. I just feel so much better in my body now. I know how to take care of myself. Maybe, you know, I can take that knowledge and help other people. So that's where I am today.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love asking people's kind of their own heroine or hero's journeys, because it always usually, more often than not, starts with yourself. And when you feel so whole, when you overcome something like that, you just want to give. That's definitely my experience, is you just want to, you know, you never know how good you can feel until you've felt it, more or less. And that was my experience with diet, especially more plant-based. I've been plant-based-ish since I was 15, 16, and was not healthy plant-based, because when you say vegetarian, you know, even in college, I still had all the pizza, you know, the drunk food and the beer, everything horrible. And now, like, if I try eating that, I'm like, I might have a bite or two of that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, ugh, it doesn't resonate with me as much anymore. But like we said, intuitively, if I want to have some sushi or very rarely I do want cheese, but sometimes I do, if it's a nice cheese, I will indulge. But that not having to keep myself at that strict perfectionist level, I think is very healthy for a lot of people.
Yes.
But also balancing it and not allowing those emotions or those stressors to overcome, in which it flips where you're barely eating, you know, the plant-based and the veggies and the fruits. And now you're, you know, you've flipped all the way to the junk food. I would love to hear kind of your synopsis of the benefits. Can you still get the health benefits of eating plant-based, but not having to go in perfectionistic 100% of the time and, you know, have your card carrying plant-based vegan card with you?
I know. Well, I think 100%, absolutely. Because here's the thing, there are so many people who are trying to eat more plant-based, whether they think about it in those terms or not. But let's say they go to the doctor for their annual exam, and a couple years in a row, the doctor is saying, hey, you really need to get your cholesterol down. You need to work on that. Or the next time you come back, we need to put you on a statin. And then they think to themselves, well, I don't want to be on medication. I'm going to work on that. But then a year goes by and they come back and the numbers are still, you know, in that territory. And so they're thinking to themselves, I want to do something, you know, I want to eat more vegetables. I want to get those numbers down, but they just don't really know where to start. And then I feel like if they start looking at a lot of the vegan community, plant-based community out there, it's kind of like taking, you know, cannonballing into the deep end of the pool, and they're just not ready for that. It can be really psychologically and emotionally overwhelming to someone for them to think, wait a minute, I'm never going to have a burger, or because maybe they don't know about Impossible Burgers or things like that, or they just, it's just that, that sense of, you know, it's final, like I'm never going to have these foods that I've known and cooked and enjoyed my whole life. Where do I start? So I think it's just really just unrealistic to expect people to go plant-based overnight. And some people just, you know, for whatever reason, they just feel they can't go there at this time. And when I'm talking to the people I'm coaching, I'm like, well, you may want to become a part-time vegan now, and maybe you don't want to go all in right now, maybe never, you know, and that's fine with me. But I do think that when you can incrementally increase the fruits and the vegetables and the whole plant foods in your diet, then absolutely you're going to benefit from that, because now all of a sudden you're getting extra antioxidants to fight disease in the body. You're increasing your fiber, which is going to improve your digestion and your immune system, and you're just going to feel better. So I don't really buy into the all in, all out, because people are going to feel significantly better the more they eat along that plant-based spectrum. And I do not believe it has to be 100% for most people. Unless they really want to do that, you know, unless they feel like that's what I need to do and I feel great about it. But most people are not ready to go that route.
Yeah. And I do have to say, like, I was pretty much vegan for 3 or 4 years, like hardcore. And then I was like, well, I'll be more part-time. Or, you know, I gave up sugar for about 2 years, no processed sugar at all. I will have a cookie now, but I need my body. I felt like I needed to have that almost strictness for whatever I was going through emotionally or physically. My body was like, I need to detox. So I love your approach to that. And I would also, so a lot of the standard American diet, but also lifestyles we kind of pointed to, I love how you say over caffeinated, because I don't think that's, we don't want to look at that part of life.
No, we don't.
So how do we, and that's addicting, right? As I've gone on and off caffeine multiple times, and now I might have a cup of tea or maybe a little bit of like a decaf coffee and stuff. Like I have decaf right here, but our brains become, and our bodies become like chemically addicted to these things. How can we transition off of this caffeine, carb addicted, stress addicted, because the stress and that adrenaline is also addicting into this healthier one. We kind of answered it, but I love to hear how you would transition somebody, or maybe how you transitioned yourself.
Well, when it comes to caffeine, I always tell people to wean themselves off gradually for sure. Because most people just want to do it cold turkey and there's no reason to, you know, it's not really, to me, it's not really worth the psychological win that you get from quitting overnight. I really think that's a 2 or 3 week or month process, however long it takes, where you're going from, you know, 25% regular coffee to a quarter, you know, decaf. I mean, I did this for a long time at Starbucks or wherever, you know, I'd order, I guess, like a triple shot, and then it would be, you know, 2/3 regular, 1/3 decaf. And then I would flip it and then go half and half. And, you know, sometimes that's just what people need to do, eventually moving their way to green tea, and maybe they stop there. I mean, there are a lot of benefits in green tea. It really depends on how sensitive someone is to caffeine. But then maybe they move from green tea to white tea, and then they're drinking herbal tea and they're on their way. But I think with most things, like, for example, that weaning off of caffeine, I just really think the small incremental steps is really what's going to help people the most, because that is the most sustainable. When we make these overnight changes, it might feel like a rush and this really exciting thing. And we get to tell people, oh my gosh, yes, I've been plant-based for 5 days, you know, and then, you know, a couple of weeks go by and you're like, wow, I didn't really figure out how to make this sustainable. I'm all about helping people make this a sustainable change in their life that can ebb and flow. You know, sometimes we're doing really great with our habits and then we go on vacation and then, you know, kind of things get off track, and that's fine. And we just have to be willing to kind of go with that flow and do the best we can. Try to eat some vegetables while we're on vacation. And then when we come back, we can get back into our habits. But we just have to recognize we're not going to be nailing it every day. I mean, life intervenes and we need to be flexible, because the more we try to like white knuckle it and control everything, I mean, that's just going to drive us crazy. So small wins for me, you know, or small habits consistently acted on every day, that's where we get the results that we want to see.
Agreed. And I think we touched on a little bit, but how, I mean, we could talk caffeine specifically, but just in general, how can stress and that poor diet, including caffeine or whatever else, carb or sugar, how can that negatively impact our life and health? Because I know it could pop up in a series of ways, but another way to ask this maybe is, when do you think you should be a part-time vegan? Like what might be popping up in your life to maybe say, this Monica's got something going on. Maybe I need to like become more of a plant-based diet.
Well, it can solve a lot or resolve or improve a lot of conditions. I mean, I mentioned cholesterol, blood pressure. If someone's creeping into that pre-diabetes territory, or they have developed type 2 diabetes and they're trying to improve that, that's kind of the classic reason why people find me, is because they're motivated by health. But then they're also, you know, obviously there are other reasons, including ethical and environmental. So even if people feel like I'm never going to go 100% vegan, they can feel good about the fact that, okay, well, maybe you don't consider yourself someone who's motivated by eliminating animal cruelty or standing up for the animals. Just feel good knowing that just, you know, what you're doing is going to reduce our collective reliance on that system. And also in terms of the environment, I mean, if we all did a meatless Monday, or I forget the statistics, but if we cut back our own meat consumption by 20%, which is not very much, then that would be the equivalent of us all switching from a regular sedan to driving a Prius. So when global warming or climate change seems just too big for us to have any impact whatsoever, we actually can. You know, if all of us just did Meatless Monday, that would be a great place to start. So I think following a plant-based diet or a more plant-based diet just has so many benefits, including health, environmental, you know, kind of changing the way that animals are raised in this country, voting with our dollar, to actually saving time, money, and energy at the store. In my program, I teach a meal planning and prep framework that really helps people be consistent about it. Because it's one thing to like think about it, like I want to be more plant-based, I'm going to eat more vegetables, but eventually you're going to need to figure out, okay, well, how do I actually make this happen on a day-to-day basis? How do I make this sustainable? How do I reduce my food waste? Because it's such a bummer when you open up the produce drawers and everything's just rotting away into slime, you know? So it does require learning a little bit more about cooking, because plant-based cooking is different than when we're using animal proteins and animal products. And not that it's difficult, it's just a mindset shift for people who have been eating a certain way, you know, for decades, usually.
Yeah, it's funny because I've never cooked meat, like since I was 15 or 16, which I've never learned to have to cook it. And I kind of realized that, like, oh yeah, it's kind of weird that I've never had to go down that route. But environmentally, you know, I used to be all up on the statistics as well, but deforestation, you know, in the Amazon, which is worldwide, number one reason is for livestock.
Yeah.
And not only animal-based products, but just produce-wise, if we can shift to a more locally sourced produce, animal products by far take up the most amount of resources in terms of like oil, you know, gas, electricity to, you know, just keep an animal alive, but to transport all of this, the whole process. But I love looking at, you know, local CSA, community sustained agriculture, or farmers markets to even get your produce from, because not only are you supporting local, it's actually more nutritious. Because a lot of the times, you know, organic food now, I might just have to pause this tangent. I can go talk about this all day long. You know, this big farming, where we've lost so much of the nutrients in our soil just because we're eating an organic tomato. Maybe it's from this huge factory farm, is maybe not going to have as much nutrients as it would as some local farmer an hour outside your city. And it blows my mind that the soil, the micronutrients in the soil, has depleted significantly since the 1950s, which may or may not have coincided with Roundup and all those pesticides.
Right.
But yeah, even when we transition, even if you do want to have meat, if you're still a part-time vegan or part-time plant-based, transitioning to somebody who is local, who has pasture raised instead of free range, because pasture raised means that they actually have space to walk around. And I mean, that whole ethical part, you know, that's why I became plant-based, you know, 20 years ago, was I did not feel aligned with how the industry is set up. And we can vote with our dollar, but we can also vote with our dollar through produce and other things we can buy locally to support local businesses, but also just a transport cost of driving something or even shipping something from South America all the way up to, I'm in Ohio. Think about how much CO2 waste that is. It is, this blows my mind, and I will slowly transition this to, and I know, I'm sure you have more to say about this, but you said something in your last answer that with any lifestyle change is, how can we bridge that gap between what we should be doing and we know what we should be doing to what we're actually doing? Because that's so important with any change in our lives.
Yeah. Bridging that gap. I mean, again, the small micro decisions that we make every single day, it's like, James Clear talks about in Atomic Habits. It's not these, you know, for us to make progress, it's not these giant leaps that we make every single day. It's these teeny tiny decisions, which might even include something like, hey, I'm going to set aside 30 to 45 minutes once a week on Sunday or whatever my day off is to actually prep some of my vegetables so that when I open my refrigerator, I have a kind of salad bar or a stir fry bar of sorts ready to go so that my meals won't take me a long time to make. But that's a really small thing. And I think it's just knowing that we just have to make these incremental changes. And sometimes we're not going to do it right, or we're going to get confused, or we're going to get a little stuck. And that's fine. It's part of the process. And just to remember, we don't need to be completely overwhelmed by that. It's just part of the process. We take a couple steps forward. We might take a couple steps back. We learn some things. I think the important thing in all of this is just to be aware of what's happening and to just kind of make some notes about, oh, okay, I am trying to eat more plant-based, but when I was with my friends, you know, we went out to this restaurant that's known for burgers and I had one and now I'm all bummed out about it. You know, that's what's going to happen to most people because, you know, that is going to restaurants and being on vacation and trying to eat more plant-based. Those are the most challenging situations. But if you're the kind of person who's in restaurants all the time, or if it's literally your job to entertain clients, you know, that's just going to take some planning like we would plan for other big projects. But people get kind of blindsided by that and then they're frustrated. And that's where it's just awareness, you know, being aware of the issue and then doing some planning around it so that, oh, okay, well, I could have a small meal before I go to a restaurant or a party. And then I won't feel, you know, kind of that anxious, agitated, when am I going to eat? You know, I'm starving. When we're not feeling that way, then we can be in a restaurant and just kind of be a little bit more grounded, make some different decisions. Maybe we order a large salad. We start our meal that way. And then we share an entree with the people we're with. Or, you know, maybe we even call ahead to the restaurant and say, hey, I'm eating plant-based. What are my options? You know, so we don't have to deal with it at the table. And they're trying to figure it out on the fly. I mean, a lot of restaurants can figure it out now, but it just requires more planning. And also just that permission to make mistakes and just to figure out like, okay, what's the lesson in this? What do I want to take away from it? What would I like to do differently when I'm in that situation again?
Yeah, 100%. I think the world today is set up so much, it's a lot easier to be plant-based or even I'm like mostly gluten-free as well. And to be able to go into like even a steakhouse, they typically have a veggie entree. Usually it might just be like plain grilled veggies with char marks on it, but they will have, they will have a plate or they will make you one as well. Yeah. If you ask,
And they have potatoes.
And potatoes. Yep. Guessing. Yep. And asparagus usually. Yep. Those.
Yep.
Your coat.
Give me your potatoes and asparagus and a salad.
I'm done. But to be honest, that's like what I eat at home anyway. So, you know, not too far off.
I'm team potato.
Yeah. I love potatoes. I know they get a bad rap sometimes, but any potato.
Very nutritious food.
Very nutritious. Yeah. And grounding, I think too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you've mentioned a little bit, I would love to hear more about your new online course which helps people transition even part-time or full-time. It's called Part-Time Vegan. Is that correct?
Yes.
I love the name of it. I would love to hear all about it, you know, how it helps people and how we can get a hold of you and sign up for the course as well.
Sure. So Part-Time Vegan, I designed this course for people who are trying to eat more plant-based. I mean, there are a lot of people that I work with through my group coaching program who, I mean, you know, 2% of those people are wanting to be plant-based fully, but the rest of everybody else is just trying to eat more vegetables. And I thought to myself, you know, it's not, I'm not doing the best that I can for people when they are just trying to eat more plant-based and they're never going to go there. You know, I talk to people about like the spectrum of plant-based eating and, you know, on one end you have carnivorism, you know, where people are literally just eating meat all the time. I mean, that's not us. That's, you know, and then there on the other end of the spectrum is hardcore veganism, like PETA, organizations like PETA. And then there's all sorts of plant-based eating along that spectrum. And, you know, what can I do to serve people to get them moving along that spectrum so that they are feeling better in their bodies and they're feeling better about the decisions they make around their diet? So Part-Time Vegan has a 5-step process that I walk people through that really does incorporate all those small steps that we're making at each step of the way or each, you know, station of the way to keep it sustainable and to keep it feeling realistic and to keep it feeling like, hey, I can do this. You know, I'm not going to start out overnight by challenging people to whatever, be plant-based, you know, for a 7-day challenge. Cause I mean, while that might be fun, it's not going to be sustainable for most people. So my course is really all about, okay, well, how do we even understand what style of part-time vegan is going to work with for us? And so I walk people through a framework of deciding, you know, I think it's helpful when people have a framework that they understand, oh, this is when I'm going to be plant-based. This is why, this is how, and that may change from season to season, but I think it's helpful when people have a game plan and they know, okay, when I'm home cooking for myself, doing my own shopping, they know that, okay, like they're, it's pretty easy for them to eat more plant-based when they're at home. Now, when they get into certain situations, when they go to a restaurant or they go to someone's house for a party or they go on vacation, then they have to either make a decision, okay, well, I'm not going to be plant-based when I'm doing that, and I'm going to enjoy that and not feel bad about it. Or are there options, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I'm feeling so good in my body since I've been eating more plant-based, I don't want this to end. Okay, like let's work on some ideas for you so that you can go out into the wilds of restaurant dining or vacation or, you know, going to a friend's house. What are you going to do? Well, you can bring a beautiful potluck salad to that party. And at least you know that you will have a satisfying, beautiful salad to eat. Chances are other people, when they see that salad, they're going to be really excited. You're helping serve them. You're helping support their health. And then, you know, eat a little bit before you go so you're not starving. I mean, these are all tactics that we talk about inside the program. But anyway, I walk people through this 5-step framework to becoming a part-time vegan and understanding what that means for you as the individual, because it's going to look different for everybody. And then I walk people through the meal planning and prep framework, which that's really, you know, the secret sauce of the program is, okay, well, okay, I understand this is the kind of part-time vegan I'm going to be. This is how I can move myself along that spectrum. But then, you know, how do I actually make that happen on a day-to-day basis where I don't want to be spending an hour in the kitchen? How do I get that meal prep time down to maybe it's 10 minutes or 15 minutes or 30 minutes, 30 minutes or less, I think is where most people feel, okay, that's fair. You know, I think if people have made a commitment to take care of their health, they understand that cooking is going to be, or meal prep is going to be part of that at some point, but maybe they're busy. Maybe they don't really love being in the kitchen. But I do think if people have made that commitment, they feel pretty comfortable with 30 minutes or less. So we talk about a meal prep system that can help them achieve that on busy weeknights.
Awesome. Yeah, I know some weeknights we always have our go-to easy, we can prep it meals. Just some days you just, it's easier to have a plan or an emergency meal. Mm-hmm. So you have it. And, you know, for me, a lot of the times the emergency meals are, we'll do like a really nice gluten-free pasta with like some steamed frozen vegetables, because I always have some type of frozen vegetable on hand for those nights where I'm like, I don't want to prep anything. And then a really either a nice marinara, or I'll make our own like olive oil sauce and just cut up a bunch of fresh tomatoes, and like in under 15 minutes, we're done.
That is the best food. I think that we, especially, you know, if we are overthinkers, you know, mm-hmm. like myself, Overthinkers Club, I have to constantly remind myself the healthiest food is the simplest food. But I do think in our culture, I think America or United States is unique in the way that we're such a melting pot. And it is so easy to scroll through your phone and to order up cuisine from all over the world. You know, I want Indian food tonight, Mexican tomorrow, Italian, Thai. It's just so easy. And I think we've become accustomed to having these big, intense, different flavors from around the world frequently, like kind of every night, you know, but that's not how they eat in other countries. So I think that can get us into a little bit of trouble, is that we overthink it or we expect too much from the experience. And really, yes, like our food needs to taste good to us, but it doesn't. We put so much pressure on dinner, especially, that it has to be the best meal of the day. And this is when our family's getting together, and it, you know, it needs to check all the boxes. And honestly, though, most of us don't need to eat a big dinner, because now we're eating, you know, a heavy dinner. Maybe it's high in calories or calorically dense. And then we're just going to go to bed in a couple hours. You know, we don't have time to use up that energy before we go to sleep. And now if we go to sleep with kind of a full belly, then that's going to interfere with our sleep quality. And then we're going to wake up feeling sluggish and, you know, our digestion is going to be off. Really, we should all be eating kind of a lighter dinner and consuming most of our calories, breakfast, lunch, you know, early in the day, or having an early dinner at 5 o'clock, but most of us aren't doing that. So, you know, that's a lot of the stuff that we talk about inside Part-Time Vegan. So it is a little complicated. I mean, it's not complicated. It just requires awareness, thinking about it, making a plan. But yeah, like back to your point that the healthiest foods really are often the simplest foods, you know, potatoes, sweet potatoes, the frozen vegetables that you stocked up on during the pandemic. Like it's time to use those before they develop freezer burn if they haven't already. But that those are, I mean, I try to eat as simply as possible for my own family. Yes, I'm developing recipes and doing that for other parts of my business. And that's fun for me during the day. But when it comes to dinner, I do not want it to take a long time. I mean, that's, you know, people assume that, oh, you're a good cook and you must love to spend time in the kitchen and do all that. And I'm like, yes, I do certain times of the day, but it, and you know, in the evening I'm tired. I'm like everybody else. I'm trying to get that dinner to happen as soon as possible so that I can get to the other side of my evening, which means relaxing, going for a walk, you know, spending time with my family. But yeah, the healthiest foods are the simplest foods. We can add and like you've done, you can add a delicious sauce, delicious pasta sauce, your own pan sauce. My meal planning relies heavily on sauces and condiments, usually that I make on my own. And I share those recipes inside the program, but that way you can have rice and beans, you can have air fryer potatoes, a big salad, you know, whatever you're making, the base of that meal can be really simple. And maybe you even prepped it on the weekend so that when you come to that busy weeknight and you're just so tired, you can put a beautiful meal on the table really quickly and it's going to taste great because you have that sauce.
Yeah. And I love, like, I have a few go-to like recipes I like to make, but as we call it in our household, I like to play jazz a lot. Like and most of the time it works. But it's like, you know, clean out your fridge meal, or not just how I cook any day. Like, what fresh vegetables and fruits do we have that need to be used? Okay, what kind of grain or potato or starch, you know, and then what can we make combo together? What sauces do I have? What sauce can I make? For me, that makes it fun. It's like a different kind of challenge. I know not everybody's brain works that way. My partner, David, he's very surgical is what I call when he lines up everything for a recipe he hasn't lined up, like puts a towel down, lines up everything in order. And it's like before the meal is made, all the dishes are cleaned and dried and put away, which is great. I love that. But I think there's a balance of both worlds, is getting into something like a new lifestyle change like this, being more plant-based or part-time vegan recipes. And I'm sure your recipes are easy and delicious and don't take time, but it's also learning what you do like, what's easy, what your family likes, and what you have available. And I find myself over time, I'm like, something new I'm trying to make, I'll do recipe, or I'll like look up on Pinterest, okay, I want to make this dish, but I don't have all the ingredients. And then I read through 5 different recipes and I'm like, all right, we're going to kind of combine all of these and see if this works. I guess I don't know if that's the next level or maybe that's just a personality thing, but I think I like the fun challenges. Like, how can we make a delicious meal that's easy and that I don't have to go buy more vegetables?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, different personalities.
Yeah.
It sounds like you like to play in the kitchen. You like to have that creative expression. And some people, oops, let me get rid of that. Some people, they don't want that, you know, like they just want to, you know, those are the people who come to me and say, well, can't you just, I just wish that you could cook for me. You know, they might see stuff on my Instagram and say like, oh, can't you just come to my house and cook? And, you know, I think, well, someone could, I mean, I can't, you know, have the bandwidth for that, but you could have that maybe, but it's an important life skill, right? I mean, if we have children, it's a really great life skill to be teaching them, you know, this is what happens in the kitchen, get them involved with the meal prep on the weekend, because even little kids can be drying stuff or helping you put things away. Older kids can be chopping. They can be gathering up the rinsed salad greens and putting them in, you know, containers for the refrigerator. You know, there's no reason why the primary home cook needs to do it all by themselves, you know, if they're cooking for other people. So yeah, I mean, it's a journey, right? You know, again, like it all comes back to self-awareness, being grounded. Okay, well, what kind of cooking style do I have, you know, and how am I going to make this work for me? Because, you know, if you're the kind of person who likes to improvise like you do, and you still also want to reduce your food waste and use what you have, you will need meal prep maybe less than someone who doesn't enjoy cooking or is really, really busy and they don't have time for that, those kind of improv kitchen moments. You know, so the busier people are, the less they like to cook. They're the ones who really need to rely on a meal prep framework, because that's what's going to save them during the week and it will help keep them consistent.
Yeah. And the food waste thing is huge too. I'd love to hear in terms of meal prep, I didn't realize this. There's different kinds of meal preps that you can either, you know, I think of the body lifter, weight lifter, you know, that have like the macros and everything prepped in little containers throughout the week. Or I think of what you're teaching is more like, you know, make a huge thing of quinoa for the week or prep all your salad ingredients so that they're already there. And when you are making that recipe, it's grab and go in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm more of a component kind of person, or building blocks is how I like to say it. Yeah. Like the classic meal prep dynamic is if you looked it up on Instagram or, you know, YouTube, you would see people who are performance athletes or they're bodybuilding or they're just super, super busy. But they cook giant batches of stuff, maybe even once a month, you know, and then they're portioning it out into these little containers and freezing it or just for that week, they put all their little happy meals together, you know, and they put them in the refrigerator and then they just have, you know, these meals ready to go. And I think that's important for athletes and, certainly bodybuilding, because they're trying to build mass and they are eating, you know, maybe 6 times a day and they need to be having high quality food or else, you know, they're not going to reach their goals. But most people, you know, the people that I work with are really just trying to get dinner on the table. You know, breakfast, they're pretty good at usually. Lunch, maybe they could use a little fine tuning to get some more vegetables onto their plate. But really, they just need help getting that healthy dinner on the table more consistently. And so meal prep for them would, the way I kind of coach people is to focus on your building blocks. So at the end of all that, when you open up your refrigerator, you will have kind of a salad bar that's ready to go or a stir fry bar, or, you know, you have some sauces and condiments that you can use for a baked potato night. Maybe you always make sure that you have salsa on hand or pico de gallo, avocados. It's really just working on those components or those building blocks so that when it comes to making that meal, half of that meal has already been prepped. you know, hopefully even pre-cooked, like you have a batch of rice or quinoa, you've already baked some potatoes over the weekend, you have a tray or two of roasted vegetables so that you can just reheat those vegetables, put them into any sort of a Buddha bowl or a burrito bowl, doing a batch of beans on the weekend, or sometimes, you know, it might even mean opening up the cans of beans, putting them into a bigger container so that they're just ready to go. I mean, I do that. We have a teenage son. So my baby, you know, who I got to have when I was 40, he's 14 now, and he's trying to put on weight. He's trying to get ready for high school sports. And so he is eating all the time. So a lot of times what I'm doing is I have pre-cooked rice. I have a big container of this kind of burrito combo that I make, it that's really just black beans and corn and maybe some chopped up veggies. And that way, when he comes home, I can make that burrito bowl like that. I mean, that's like a 5-minute thing. But I have to be prepared because I do not want to be in the kitchen all the time making food for, you know, someone who wants to eat all day. Like I like to cook, but I have many other things I like to be doing. So, yeah, like he has taught me a lot about how to be prepared for those meals that are just ready to go in 5 minutes.
I love that. And a big thing that I have learned over the years, I love what you said about not having your huge meal be dinner, is we will eat a smaller dinner, still cook the same amount as I would if it was a big dinner. And I am a big proponent of leftovers.
Yes.
The next day, no matter what it is, even if it's pasta, I will put it over a salad for my lunch. It was like a game changer, especially when I, you know, was still COVID era. I was going to the office every day. Now I'm at home. It was like, okay, lunch prepped. Just prep a thing of salad in a Tupperware and then have the leftover in the other one. Maybe heat the leftovers up, put it on top of the salad. Done. And granted, yeah, just me and my partner, you know, no kids around, which I'm sure a teenage boy right now is eating all of the food, all the calories, but that's an easy thing too, is for me making more than we need for dinner and allowing at lunch to be the bigger meal. But also, like Monica teaches as well, is have those ingredients prepped. So you have that salad bar, you have that burrito bowl bar ready to go. And those little things that don't take much more time, just planning ahead for, save you a lot of time, save you a lot of stress, and keep you promote that healthy lifestyle. So it's not even a decision, just it's there. It's part of life.
Yeah, leftovers are key. And some people, it's funny, like some people really feel strongly about not liking leftovers, or, you know, and I just, to me, I got over that real quick. When, you know, the busier I became, because now if I have some leftovers, I think beautiful. Like, here's this food that was prepared. It's good. I don't have to do anything extra. So yeah, like depending on how much time people have on the weekend, I think it's a great idea to make a big batch of something, soup, chili, stew, you know, a white bean stew, to enjoy as leftovers or to freeze half of it for a later date. I mean, that's also wonderful when you have kind of that slow cooked pasta sauce or whatever it is in your freezer and you can bust that out. And that takes, you know, hardly any effort to enjoy that meal. And that meal's going to have deep flavor, be healthy, be satisfying, be grounding, and you don't really have to work so hard for it. But yeah, again, it really just depends on somebody's meal planning and prep style, their cooking style, what their expectations are when they're in the kitchen and what they feel comfortable with.
Amazing. Yeah. I'm getting hungry. My stomach, I keep having to mute myself. I'm not kidding. My stomach is growling. What do I want to eat after this? But I looked at the time, and time flies when you're talking about food. Is there anything else, Monica, you wanted to talk about before we start to close the show down today?
I think, you know, if people were, if someone said, okay, like this all sounds great, you know, where, how do I get started? My big thing, as I think you'll probably remember from nutrition school, is that adding in is really the biggest or best place to start. Instead of thinking, I mean, I think currently, or just always, there's always like a trendy diet that is, and right now it happens to be low carb in, you know, various forms. But most dietary changes start out with just this giant list of, you know, expectations and restrictions. And I just don't find that to be the right energy, you know, when you're trying to make dietary change. And especially if someone, let's take, for example, if they have high cholesterol and they're trying to get that down, you could start out with this long list. Well, don't eat red meat and don't eat, you know, this or that, like saturated fat, cholesterol, don't eat the eggs, the dairy. That's not going to have the right energy for someone. I mean, that is going to really feel like a lot, you know, and it's going to overwhelm people. And so, the concept that we learned in nutrition school was adding in, which just means like, don't worry about that. Like just look at your plate and just start adding in more vegetables, more healthy plant foods, you know, more fruit, more vegetables, whole grains, beans and legumes. Start those in small amounts if you're not used to eating a lot of beans and legumes, because it will take your digestive system a little while to get used to that. But really just adding in, I mean, that's going to be the most helpful, because if you just decided, or someone decided, I want to eat more vegetables, and they have that intention and they're looking at their plate every day and just watching the ratio of the vegetables and the plant foods grow compared to the other stuff on the plate, that's going to have tremendous benefit, you know, and that's going to help make that meal satisfying. We're going to feel good after we eat it. You know, it's just going to make our tummy happier because we're going to have some extra fiber. But that's really the best place to start, is to add in, you know, more vegetables and healthy plant foods, get used to those. Your palate's going to change over time. And that just feels much more like something that we can achieve, as opposed to just 100% changing something overnight. And when we do it that way, I think that it's just much more realistic and it's easier. You know, who can't put a few more carrot sticks or celery sticks or extra servings of salad on their plate? I mean, we can all do that. You know, even in, you know, any restaurant, you're going to be able to order a salad. And over time, you know, maybe you're sharing that salad with someone in the beginning. You're having your entree, whatever you want to do. But over time, you know, maybe it looks like the salad becomes your main, and then you're sharing some small plates, or you're sharing an entree with one or two other people. But that, I think that's how we do it. I think that's really the most realistic way that people can make change.
Beautiful. Yeah. For me, my question, I always say, can I add more greens to this meal, or veggies or fruit, but normally just a green. So
yeah.
Every meal I try to have some type of a green, whether it's a green smoothie, or if I don't, I have like some juice, like a wheatgrass shot. It just, because I know the grosser the greens taste, at least for me in my experience, the more that my body eventually needs it. So adding in little steps like that, like you said, helps so much. And I had such a pleasure talking with you. I am going to probably, debating what I want, I think I might make a green smoothie. It's 11 o'clock here. I think I can go for lunch. It's fine. It's fine.
I love it. I know it's early here. So I'm thinking, okay, what am I having next?
Yeah.
Probably a green smoothie.
Probably a green smoothie. Yeah. Easy go-to. But thank you, Monica, for coming on the show today. And thank you for showing up for you and your family and being that guiding light for all of us. And we close every single show the same way. Thank you for showing up for us today. And how may we, the listeners, be of service for you in return as an act of gratitude for you and all your beautiful nuggets of wisdom today.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. This has been so fun. I think that it would be awesome if people just today looked at their plate and added in some more veggies, you know, and just had some awareness around that. And, you know, how can I add more greens? Or it really depends. Like, people have to start wherever they are on their journey. Some people might be like, whoa, what's wheatgrass shot? Like, which now I'm kind of craving that. I haven't had one in a long time because coming out of the pandemic, you know, I just haven't been going to the, you know, the smoothie bars and the juice bars. That sounds really fun. But, you know, other people might be saying to themselves, well, gosh, you know, I'm going to have to start with salad or carrot sticks or celery sticks, or, you know, I don't mind raw cucumber, you know, that would be a great place for someone to start. So wherever you are on your plant-based journey, just be mindful and add in some vegetables to your plate. Maybe it's adding a little bit of spinach to a green smoothie. Maybe it's just adding, you know, some of those kind of classic hummus dipping vegetables to your plate today. And then if you would tag me on Instagram, I would love to hear from you. So I'm at Mospo on Instagram, and monicametz.com is where you could find out more about part-time vegan. The course will be, at the time of when this is released, it will be on waitlist, but I do actually have a free starter kit, part-time vegan starter kit. So you could check that out and that will give you some great places to start.
Awesome. We'll make sure to link all of that in the show notes. I'm going to get my hands on that free starter, even though I'm not a starter, but sign me up. I always love all the tips and the tricks and the recipes, but thank you so much, Monica. I had such a pleasure talking part-time, full-time, all the times, plant-based with you today. It was so, so much fun.
Thanks for having me. I loved it.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.